Hello, I'm Louisa Olufuyi and I'm the creator of AfroBlush, a website dedicated to sharing fresh perspectives on Pan-African culture and lifestyle. Thank you for joining me on another episode of Meet the Makers, an AfroBlush podcast about innovators, entrepreneurs and idealists. I interview inspiring people in pursuit of growth and innovation for Africa and the next generation. On today's show, I'm in London at the Mayfair Hotel, celebrating the British Film Festival's 62nd anniversary and speaking with the incredible Yuzan Posse. Yuzan became the first black woman to direct a Hollywood studio and has been fighting the system ever since and leading the way for a new generation of black female film directors. Goddaughter to the late Maya Angelou and an inspiration to Shonda Rhimes and Ava DuVernay, Yuzan is the first black director, male or female, to direct an actor to an Oscar nomination, the first black director to win a César Award, the highest French film award, also the first black director to win a Venice Film Award, and the first only woman filmmaker to have directed Marlon Brando. Yuzan was born in Martinique in the French West Indies and left for Paris in the 70s to pursue her master's in French literature and a career in film. Join Yuzan and I in this intimate conversation about feminism, self-esteem, rejecting whiteness as a default, and cultural appropriation in film.
I think that I was very lucky to have a father who was a feminist. She's the first one I ever met. Because my father used to say that he has two daughters, my sister and myself, and four sons. So, and he always said to us, everything that your sisters can do, you know, you must be able to do it too. Like, for example, domestic work at the house. So don't say, oh, this is for female. No, no, there is not, not that here. You have 10 fingers, if they can wash the dishes, if they can clean the house, you can do it, you have 10 fingers. You see, that was his mentality. Every time that he'll do something that was, you know, reserved to men, quotation, and I will, you know, express a desire, you know, to be part of it, he will also welcome the fact that as female, I'm curious into that. He will be so proud. And he will encourage that. So I guess, when I told him that, well, you know, I love film because I started to write short stories very, very young. I started with write poetry. I was 10, 11, 12. My father knew that I was an artist. And he was very supportive. So I think that when I told him that I wanted to be a filmmaker, so his friend was telling him, well, you know, your daughter wants to be a filmmaker. What is that? I mean, you know. My father said, I know my girl, okay? And there is no filmmaker here, so she'll be the first. Good for the country. He was a very progressive man. So I think that that's how the whole thing started for me. So when I came to, I went to France to study film, I had that strong roots. I mean, I was very grounded, and I had the confidence of my family. They gave me a true sense of who I am. So that's why when I would go to the movies and I would see all white people on the screen, and sometimes when there was some kind of black character, it would be ugly in very degrading parts. That would piss me off. I would be so sad, so humiliated and upset because some of the people in the theaters, the other children, they would be laughing, and when they would be mistreating that black character, be quiet. You know, because they will dissociate themselves from that character and identify to the white characters who are the leads. And I was different. And I would say, oh, no. And then I would say, but, and after the movie, I would question my parents. Why is it like that? That's just ugly. That's not right. You know, I would be very vocal about it. And I was also lucky to have a grandmother who used to tell me, you know, girl, you have 5 minutes to complain about something, but you have 1 second to take action. Tell me how you want to change it. Because it's not just like spending the time, you know, complaining and complaining. No. Tell me what you want to change. If you don't like it, how would you change it?
Talking about
situations where, say, for instance, you're in the cinema and you're watching representations of black people and it makes you upset and angry. And how have you been able to channel that frustration into something productive rather than destructive?
Yeah, because, you know, I think that because I have that background with my grandmother, my father, you know, and also I had another man who became my spiritual father, Aimé Césaire. Aimé Césaire was that very famous poet and philosopher and playwright, the father of the Negritude movement with Senghor and Damas in the 50s, who just like screamed like, yes, I'm Negro and, you know, I am, you know, I exist and I'm proud of it, okay? Mm-hmm. With all these things, you know, I think that gave me the strength that I needed to fight. And he used to call me my little warrior, you know, my little warrior. And I am a warrior, very honestly. Nothing, I'm afraid of nothing. I'm not afraid of dying. Like, for example, when I did Sugarcane Alley, what did I do? I went to South Africa at a moment where the struggle was very, very tough for the ANC. A moment was the special branch of the South African police. They were just like, you know, furiated, you know, against blacks and the black activists. And they were killing them, killing the kids like crazy.
How did you feel about your own personal safety at that time?
Yeah, so and in Paris, they killed the woman who was the ANC representative, was called Dulcy September. They killed her. While that was happening, I was in South Africa, underground. You know, Dr. Motlana, Ntato Motlana was Nelson Mandela's doctor and friend. I met him in Paris. He organized everything for me inside. And when I arrived in South Africa, he took me undercover to Soweto, and I met the people I needed to meet to question them, to really make sure that I'm adapting a book, but I wanted to complete the book and to update the book. I could have died 20 times, okay? And Mandela was still in jail when I did that movie. So I was fearless, and I'm still. So, you know, that's why I was trying to explain to people in Hollywood. First of all, my agent, William Morris Agency, it's a big agency. Mm-hmm. I kept saying to them, you don't understand why when you send me all those scripts from the studios and I turned them down, and I said, no, it's a pass. I don't want it. I will drive them crazy because they couldn't understand what's wrong with her. People want her. They give the same. Even Spielberg. Spielberg offered me a movie, My Tribe is Lost. That's the name of it. He wanted me to go to Paris, send the writer to Paris so I could rewrite with him, and then I would direct the film. So all this to tell you that I knew why I decided to make films. Mm. And that was my struggle.
And where do you find inspiration more recently? Do you still go back to South Africa, to Martinique? Where do you go and what do you do to still keep yourself feeling passionate and motivated to still create and think imaginatively?
But you know what? I have that burning thing in me, that volcano, you know, in me. And I have so many projects that I was not able to do, and they are still... This is still killing me. And I will tell you something. My godmother, Dr. Maya Angelou, you know? I'm telling you that, and I'm not to show you that this is so important. You know, she told me two things, because I spent a lot of time with her because she was my godmother. She said to me, there is no greater agony than burying an untold story inside you. Mm-hmm. That one thing she said, and that's the truth. The other one, she said, they might not remember your name, but they shall never forget the way you made them feel.
That one I know.
You know that one.
Yeah.
And that's every time she was saying that to me, baby, don't worry, you know what, keep moving, keep fighting, you are on the right track, you know, whatever I can do to help you, I'll do it, okay? So, and my anger, my frustration is my fuel. But I don't hate anybody because I was upset, I was mad at what was going on, but I decided to transform that anger into creative anger.
What do you think are the most important qualities as a person that you have that have made you successful?
People, they respect me and they love me for that. That I would say that maybe unique. There is actually a documentary that they did about me called She's Unique. You know, and that was my agent. In the beginning, he was pissed at me because he wouldn't understand what I was doing. And then when he saw what I did, the piece about Aimé Césaire, when I turned down the Spielberg stuff, and he said, if he wants me, I have to wait. He was mad. But then when he saw what I did, what I was doing, he said, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. And he understood finally who I was. Okay, so that's why he said she's unique. The piece is called She's Unique. Anyway, my resilience, I think that for me, my honesty, my resilience, the sense of my true sense of myself, who I am. And I used to say, you know what? I would never take no for an answer. I would never let anyone to take me off the track of my dream, what I believe that is right. And compromise, never. So this is very important for me to remain true to myself, but open to the world, to ideas and stuff like that, you know, to enrich me. But don't try to change me, you want. And I'm willing to starve, okay? And that's why you don't have that many films of me with all the success that I had with The Dry White Season, with Ruby Bridges, with... You know, because I'm very picky about the work that I choose to do. The studio wouldn't go with my film at that time during many years because my characters were black. My leads were black. And for them, they would stand in front of me, in my face, and tell me, well, Roseanne, but you know, well, sorry, we love the story, but unfortunately, we won't know how to market this. It, you know, black is not bankable and female are not bankable. In whose name? Who? I mean, who says so? In what book that being black is a sin? And those people, they pay to go and see the movies that you produce with your white characters. Without knowing, by doing that, every time that a black person goes to the theater and buy a ticket to see a movie with white people, that person pay for its own exclusion. That they don't know that. And I know it, so I said, okay, you don't want to make my movies? Guess what? Too bad. I don't want to do yours. You want my talent to do your stories. Sorry, I can't. But, you know, when you do that, you can starve, you can die. Because it's very hard. Very, very hard. Yes, I paved the way for most of those young generation, and I'm very proud. But I pay a big price to do that. And I have no regrets. I had to do it.
What do you think, I'd love to get your thoughts on storytelling now. What are your thoughts on how storytelling has changed, particularly within the black diaspora?
I think that it's a different era. Because today, you know, you can just grab your iPhone 10 or 9 or 8, whatever, and you can film. You can make a movie. If you have brain, you have imagination, you can do that, and you can post it. You don't need to go and beg somebody to, you put it on the social media, on the net. People will see it and will have 40,000 or 1 million views, and that's enough for the people who got the money to call you and say, wow, okay, come to see me. Do you have anything you want to do next? You see, that's a big difference.
Do you think there are any challenges or negative aspects to this openness within storytelling as well, and how vulnerable maybe we're becoming?
Yes, because the problem that we have with that, it's a good thing and it's a bad thing. Because I'm the one who is encouraging the young people to grab their telephone, what we didn't have, you know, when my generation didn't have. Sorry. to film their grandparents, film their parents, things that are really relevant, important, their past, their history. Do that. Don't let them go with all this knowledge. Question them. Make little stuff about them. That's important. I'm encouraging them to do that. But on the other hand, there are some who are very creative and have dreams and they write their stuff. And there are others, they feel like, oh, that's so easy to take the phone and to write a story just like that. And you have a lot of crap as well. And they consider themselves like filmmakers. They come to you, oh, I made a movie. And, you know, and it's as if they are looking at you. You are the old generation, you know. And it's as if everything will start with them today. That means they erase everything that all the people who fought hard to create something, to pave the way, to put great story out there with their blood. They have no respect for that. Sometimes they are very ignorant of that. They don't know.
One of my own thoughts was about the fact that now that everything is so open, it's easy for other people who are not part of our culture to be taking information and doing what they want with it. And those sorts of things I find very...
That's also another danger. Yes, absolutely. I was talking about it the other day. For the first time, there was in the Ouagadougou, the film festival in Ouagadougou. For the first time in 2000, I guess it was in 2013, I guess, because it's every 2 years, I was a president, you know, of the festival, the International, you know, Pan-African Film Festival. They always had men, always. And then they decided to change and have a female president. And it was me. And I told them, okay, because I'm president, I want all the different categories to have female president as well in each category. And they say, wow, this is cool. And that's what they did. Africa was the only moment in cinema history that we had that. We started it. Okay. So, but I was telling them to be careful to the public, the audience, the filmmakers. We need to, I was talking to actually to the leaders, the black leaders, because there's a bunch of them, ministers of culture of this country, the African country. And I said, I'm glad that you are here to hear what I have to say. Because I'm telling you, you have a big responsibility because you are Minister of Culture. You need to understand that Africa, you know, you might fight, you know, to feed your people, but you will have people, their belly is full, but their head is empty. You will have people who will come, take your stories, take all your images, your memory, go and rewrite everything and talk in your place. And then they will come back to your country to sell the same thing to you and say to you, no, this is who you are. This is what you did in the past. This is what happened. They will twist it and make your children believe that this is how their ancestors were. This is what their ancestor did. And I said to them, you know, you need to remember that. So watch out. It's very important to own your images. It's very important to talk about your history, yourself. People, I'm not saying that, you know, if, for example, somebody is in love with Africa, in love with the Caribbean, and come to my country and is moved by something, you know, and the person is Chinese or white or whatever, the person has no right to talk about it. No. But I want to make sure that you talk about it the right way. Don't twist it. Don't use it for commercial reason and show whatever you want. No. Mm. But I'm open. Yes.
Yeah.
And that will be also, by doing that, it will be also an advice to young people. That means I want to, you know, I always wanted, and I want to remain true to myself, to remain true to my dreams, do what I think is right, not do anything to please anybody's agenda. Be true to myself. Know exactly who I am. And I used to say that I would never change for millions my gender or my color. You know, never.
We've come to the end of this episode of Meet the Makers. I'm Louisa. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you know anyone in film or a black woman doing amazing things, which of course you do, make sure to send them this link to listen and also let me know what you thought. You can reach me on Instagram and Twitter at Afroblush or drop me an email at louisa@afroblush.com. Great to have you listening and see you again soon.